Okay, everyone, it is Sports and Stripes, second recording, me and Steve, talking all American sports, loads of North American sports, and let's start with the big one right now, the one that's on everyone talking about, the NFL. Talk about some NFL news. What's been going on lately aside from Gronk diving on people?
What did you say? You say like Gronk is dying on people, late hit, whatever you want to call it. The thing that amazes me is that the Patriots fans still came out and defended him, like, you know, yeah, like almost as if he's just like whiter than white. Yeah. Hang on a second here. I mean, Gronk is at fault. He's probably lucky, actually. He only got like a one game suspension.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that was like a full on. You could see the hamster spitting in the brick. Oh, Gronk must hurt! And then doing the lamest, like, body surf. It wasn't even really a hit. He just, like, skimmed across the guy.
It was one of those things. It's like, am I really watching this? He has done it. He should have been suspended. I mean, let's face it. He's going to be suspended against the Dolphins, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and that's an easy buy. Although, if you have him in your fantasy, like someone I know does, it sucks. You know? Trying to then scramble around because you're trying to make the playoffs and fucking Gronk screws it all up.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to hit most people is on the old fantasy. But for the Patriots, this isn't a problem. We'll talk about a Patriots-Dolphins game in a little bit. But yeah, it's throw the book at him. He's a Patriot. I'm a Dolphins fan. Throw the book at him.
The interesting thing, I mean, obviously when you look at the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, the Juju Smith hit on Vontaze Burfict.
Oh, jeez.
You know, you look at like someone getting suspended. Jeez, that's a hell of a hit. Like Burfict is, then that affects the whole defense. And as a Bears fan, when we play them this week, I'm obviously not that upset. But still, that's a lot of, that was really a damaging hit. That was a rough, nasty game. I can't imagine the next time those two play against each other, it's going to be hell.
I think it's going to be hell as well. I mean, for me, it was almost like a throwback game to what the football was like in the 70s
good
and the 80s.
Football,
it was good old football. I mean, this has obviously caused a bit of eruption on Twitter and everything else like that because, you know, they want to obviously cut down on these really nasty hits, headshots and everything else like that. And then you've got players that are kind of saying, well, yeah, but we want to play football. And it's like, well, yeah, you can play football. This doesn't detract from the game. Yeah. That we just want to make it a safe environment for players to play in and then not have to deal with issues post the NFL.
Well, good old football is fine. A good rough around and playing rough. And yeah, but nailing a guy helmet to helmet or leveling a guy so hard off the head that you're knocking him off his feet is not good old football. And, you know, you look at it. We'll obviously get into the game, but you've got Pittsburgh playing Baltimore this week. I mean, these two were. This is another one that the refs are just going to be throwing flags all over the place because this is going to be a violent game.
Yeah, and I think when you have a game like what we've had last weekend, you've got to have a message around to the referees about this and say, look, you need to keep an eye on this happening and try and put a stop to it very, very early on. That's what it is, a case of, like, not only in the NFL, because other sports, you know, referees have put on notice, watch out for this. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to see a lot of penalties early on in some of these NFL games just to try and say, look, we will not stand for
just
this.
Just to set the tone. I mean, when you look at the game last night, we looked at the Atlanta-New Orleans game. It was at 10 penalties, and the last one, the last minute, was Sean Payton running out in the field that basically allowed them to win the game and kneel it. I mean, when you look at these kind of penalties, yeah, I mean, even though the penalty, that, you know, the whole Gronk situation, though, I mean, that was four times pass interference, and that was never going to get called. And that's why Gronk, you know, that's why Gronk lost. But either seems to be this sort of, either they're calling a lot of penalties or they're missing a whole fucking bunch of them.
Yeah, and I think this is it again. I mean, players will always say this. It's not about the fact that there's penalties or anything else. It's that you've got to be consistent.
Yeah,
exactly. So the players know what parameters they're working towards. Because what you then get is then players testing the officials to say, well, you didn't call it last time.
No, exactly.
Let's see if you're going to call it this time. And it gets more and more and more and more. And in the end, you don't want to get into a scenario where the players are police in their own game.
No, exactly.
And that's what you end up happening.
And then, because that goes into the locker room, they take that back to the locker room, it gets all fervor, it gets all anger, and then they want to smash things!
Yeah. And it's, again, it's out of control. You should never, ever let the inmates run the asylum.
No, exactly. Unless it's, you know, unless it's really like one of those South American prisons where they, you know, do all the drug dealing and they bring their wives in. Those ones work fine. But not the NFL.
No, the NFL seems to get, needs to get away from this. And I think we are going to get these early penalties, but I hope we do not get another game like we had last weekend, because I don't want to see that.
No, I don't think we do. And I mean, you know, obviously it gets a little emotional as we head in towards the playoffs. People, you know, really want to amp it up, and every game counts these days. So when you look at the, you know, I think to me the biggest story of the year, again, is injuries.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the amount of injuries, the amount of A-level players, that, you know, franchise players that are injured. man, there's just so many of them going on, and it just goes year by year by year. You just wonder if they can keep enough players to keep up with the amount of guys that are getting knocked out.
Yeah, and I think as well, it again, we're getting towards the end of the season, teams are going to take a look at this and go, you know, the players are getting hurt. We're going to start pulling some of our top guys out, because when we get to the playoffs, we want to try and be healthy. And we've talked on last week's show about how teams will want to pull players at the top of the conferences, like the Steelers, like the Patriots. They're not going to want to leave those guys out. No. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger gets a bad hit. Tom Brady gets a bad hit.
Brady's hit. I mean, you look at even someone like a KC. You get a Kelce or someone like that gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that's your franchise. Even New Orleans losing Kamara last night. You know, the concussion. I don't know how long that's going to be or how long he's going to be. But that was a guy who rose and basically led this team to where they are now. I mean, he's been so instrumental in taking the pressure off of Brady or Breeze, but. You know, you wonder when you start losing these big players, these impact players, what's going to happen in the whole season?
Yeah, I mean, early on in the season when the Saints couldn't figure out their running game, it put a lot more pressure on Breeze, and then he then made mistakes, and we saw him against the Patriots, not exactly have the best game.
Yeah.
But once they figured that out, again, it opens up so many more things to what Breeze can do, and that's the reason why I favoured the Saints, and now I'm taking a look at it and going, yeah, it could be a lot harder there.
Let's take a look at the AFC race, wild card wise. We've got Baltimore and Tennessee. I mean, I can't believe Baltimore's made it to this point. I mean, they're sort of up and down and down and up, and you don't know which way, and I can't see them, and even, you know, Tennessee has not been that consistent. When you look at them going against the likes of a New England or a well-rested Pittsburgh, man, you better hope that someone's hurt on the other side.
Yeah, I don't. Tennessee, for me, are the one team in there that I take one look at it and go, yeah, you're most primed to be like a first-round exit. I don't have much faith in them whatsoever. And you got, obviously, the Steelers, the Patriots, the top two seeds. I think, for me, the interesting one is the AFC West race.
Yeah.
Where you've got the Chiefs that can't win.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Chargers that seem as though they're the team in form that should be the team that goes in here. But I just have a feeling if Kansas City, and I know a lot of people say this week in, week out, Kansas City can get one win, they'll be okay.
Well, they're playing Oakland this weekend where they're favored, but also you wonder that if, as you say, that if San Diego can keep winning. So if San Diego wins and I think Oakland wins, I think San Diego's in first place, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, old habits die hard, calling them San Diego. They've now moved to LA. San Diego,
sorry. Oh my God, the Chargers. Yeah, it does.
just rub that one in again.
Yeah, exactly. To all those people who drive down to the stadium, so we're in San Diego for the game today. Oh my God, the LA Chargers. It's so hard to say. Conrad Hilton didn't envision them that way.
No, absolutely not. And that's how it could shake out. I mean, we've got some really important AFC West games coming up over the next few weeks. I still think Kansas City is still the team to beat in the AFC West, but every week that goes by, I'm having a lot less faith in that.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to Kareem Hunt? You know, the passing game is sort of all Kelce, and so you wonder, you know, they really, and Alex Smith has not looked that great, they really have to put something together if they really want it, because they were the team that started the season, and I was like, oh, the Chiefs, and then it's like, what happened to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, early on in the season, they beat the Patriots, and we was looking at them being the Patriots' main competition in the AFC, and now we're looking at them a 6-6 team. They can't beat anyone. We thought they beat the Jets, couldn't get that job done. Then they're going to get the Raiders, which is obviously not going to be easy, but it's a character game. If they can win this and kind of get a bit more positivity going back in the locker room again, then maybe.
Sure.
If they lose this one, and with the Chargers almost certainly going to win this week, then I think that is it for Kansas City.
Well, it's the other thing that Kansas City has to their advantage is winter is coming. And they'll have Oakland, and I mean, it's going to be a cold weekend in Kansas City, so might play to their advantage. The other one's interesting to me is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even though they can't beat, you know, they can't throw touchdowns, their running game, Fournette, seems to have sort of stymied there. Bortles, I mean, it's basically their defense that's keeping them in games a lot of the time.
Yeah, and they got a really big game this week against Seattle. I mean, Seattle want to win this to see if they can try and get a playoff spot in the NFC. Jacksonville, as you say, they completely rely on their defense. So it's going to come down to Russell Wilson versus the Jacksonville defense.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going to get out of Bortles, and that's going to be very, very little. For me, if Seattle get ahead in this game, I don't see Jacksonville coming back.
Yeah.
I do have Jacksonville winning this game because it's at home, and I just think they will just be able to do enough.
Yeah, I mean, after watching that performance, you know, it was inspiring last week for Seattle just to see how far they've come and sort of what they've learned. Again, this Jacksonville team, you're right, but I think that if they can build on the lead and get the running game going, I think Russell Wilson will be under a lot of pressure. He's not going to want to go to the outside because those guys are quick.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, I think he's going to be kind of like damage control, where he's not going to want any part of
that. Yeah, and you're pushing it hard enough now that if they are, you know, if they're putting up like 10 sacks a game some games, you want to make sure that he's not one of those going down, because they hit hard.
No, and as I say, I think that this is where the key is for me. If Seattle can get ahead in this game and try and tire out this Jacksonville defense, then I think that goes a long way to winning, because you cannot put any faith in Bortles coming back and trying to win this game.
No. He Bortles it. And it's pretty... that's just the name range. Oh, I Bortled that one. Sorry, I Bortled the game, guys. I Bortled it. yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the games. Let's go to the first one I've got done. Detroit-Tampa Bay. No line in this because Matthew Stafford, the $25 million man. To me, Tampa Bay was a better team than Green Bay last week. They got more 200 more yards than they did. Detroit just seems to be falling. You know, they don't seem to have the running game together. Abdullah, who was a last-minute decision last week with his neck, I don't know if he'll play again this week. I really like Tampa Bay in this game. I think Tampa Bay could actually put up some good points in this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think I could go 50-50 on this in some respects. I think it's one of those games that when you get to the end of the season, you're like, yeah, I don't even want to watch this game.
Yeah, or bet on it, really. It's a hard one to sort of pick. But yeah, it's...
Yeah, I think... Not to go away to other games, I think there's a lot of games like that this week that are very hard to pick. For me, it's a toss-up game. I've actually got Detroit maybe just sneaking this.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on to my Bears. They're playing in Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 6.5. But Burfict being out, Danny Trevathan's in. I like the Bears' chances in this one, but I still think that A.J. Green is just too much for the Bears. You know, if the Ginger Ninja can hit A.J. Green and get it going, they're good. But if the Bears can keep the pressure on and get the running game going, the problem is it's just A.J. Green, and I can just see him beating us. So I have them actually beating us, but I think we can stay close to the 6.5.
I was going
to
say, I think you got a lot of if.
Yeah,
if
totally. Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that's it. I think for me, no, Cincinnati again, it's a must-win game for them. And I think this is where you kind of look at the late-season games. Who must win this game? Who is hungrier to win this game? If they've got the talent, I think Cincinnati can win this. I do agree. I don't think Cincinnati are going to win it by that spread. I think it's going to be a closer game than that. Yeah. I think maybe the Bengals win it on a late field goal.
Yeah, could be. I think I've got that tight as well. All right, let's move on to the one we talked about. Indianapolis-Buffalo. Buffalo 6-6. Indianapolis 3-9. No line in this game. Looks like Peterman might be coming back again if Tyrod Taylor is injured. He looks to be in worse shape than Matthew Stafford, so... I don't see him coming back. This game, again, in Buffalo, just smells a shit show to me.
And do you know what? You know those late games you have in the season where it's just literally just all field goals?
Yeah.
I think this is a prime example of it.
Robbie Gould, player of the week last week, yeah.
I can see this game just being like 12-6.
Yeah.
An awful game to watch.
It would be more interesting, I think, to be in the tailgating when fans are jumping through tables. And impregnating their cousins. I mean, that's what happens in Buffalo. Fun to watch. Then we'll head to Arrowhead. No one's brought that up. Oakland at Kansas City. KC is favored by 1.5. Both 6-6 teams. I don't know. I mean, you know, they're barely able to get like 9 points against the Giants, so I just can't see this being a game.
No, I've got Kansas City winning this game. Again, it's a game that they have to win.
Yeah.
It's a game that could jumpstart their playoff push again. And if they get things right, they're going to be a low seed that maybe teams aren't going to want to play. But again, it's like you. It's like if.
Yeah.
And they've got to get going this week. If they lose to the Raiders, and as I say, we'll talk about the Chargers in a minute, and I think that'll be it.
Interesting thing is you got Crabtree back this week, which adds a whole new level to the offense. You know, obviously with how quickly he went the other week. I think he could be really, you know, they can cover a lot of the guys and stop the running game. Kansas City, but I don't know about covering Crabtree. I don't know if they'll be able to stop him. So if Crabtree can get it going, you know, it's going to be up to Hunt to really get the running game going for KC. So this could be a tight one. I actually have it like a 1-point game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really tight. And I think the problem for KC is as long as it stays tight or the Raiders stay in front, you know, maybe the players start getting a bit nervous.
Yeah.
Again, the fans get a bit nervous. Again, this is where you playing at home doesn't help you.
Yeah.
So KC, you've got to get ahead and then just establish that running game and then just try and grind this one out.
And getting ahead is hard, especially when you're playing in that winter weather. You know, if it is going to be a snowy, kind of crappy day, you know, throwing the ball is going to be hard. It's going to be a big running game, and it's going to be a lot of slowness on the ground, especially with an Oakland team not used to snow. here's a big game, which Minnesota at Carolina, which I'm surprised Sky is not showing this game, but whatever. So you've got, you know, you've got a team, Minnesota, which did not look that strong last week, I didn't think. And Carolina, I like Carolina in this one to win. This is my upset of the week. I think Carolina can beat them.
But I don't actually think this is such a big upset. No. Because Carolina are at home. I think Minnesota did what they had to do last week, which was beat Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good win for them.
Yeah.
Which then allows them to kind of not win this one. Carolina, again, need to win this one maybe more than Minnesota do. I think Carolina's defense are going to be way too much for Minnesota's offense here.
Yeah, and I really like... I mean, the Minnesota defense is good, but I think what's going to happen is you're going to see someone who was sort of injured, I think, last week, Christian McCaffrey. I think he's going to have one hell of a week. Not just because I have him in fantasy, but the way that the Minnesota plays, you're going to see a lot of passes to McCaffrey. They're not going to do a lot of front runs. It's going to be too hard to do that, but you're going to see a lot of those dishes, a lot of rollouts. Hit McCaffrey for 5, he runs for another 15. Yeah. So I think it's going to be exciting, big fantasy point for him.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. He's going to be one of those players we're going to look out for this week. But I mean, this is the pick of the games for me this week, and for Sky not to show it.
I think because they showed them last week, it's like, we're not going to show them again. It's like it's 10-2 versus 8-4. I mean, this is the game to watch.
Yeah.
Not
2-6. Unless it's a Patriots and they'll show them every week.
Yeah, no, of course. Here's a game that probably hardly anyone will be watching. Green Bay at Cleveland, 6-6. Brett Hundley, what he had, 76 yards and for a win? I mean, the guy... All he did was run. He doesn't really pass. He's a horrible passer.
Yeah.
His accuracy is atrocious. His arm's atrocious. He should be playing for the Browns.
Do you know, even if Rodgers was able to play in this one, I still wouldn't watch this game.
No.
It's just an awful game. And if you're ever going to ask me to pick Cleveland to win a game, I'm not doing it.
I'm picking... I've actually got them to maybe win this game. I do. I don't see... they've got a 3.5-point spread. I don't see them covering it. I think Josh Gordon is going to score 2. I can... You know, he was starting to get his rhythm last week.
Absolutely.
I think he'll get it. You know, Kaiser is a piece of crap. He really is. I mean, there's just a shit show of quarterbacks there. But hopefully, it's Josh Gordon. Just give him the ball and go.
Yeah, just let him take over this game. But, I mean, what an awful game.
Yeah, again, that one, it'll be under the bar, probably. Actually, we have a lot of people coming down to the Hippodrome to watch this one on Sunday.
Die-hard Browns fans.
Someone puts baby in the corner. That's me. another shit show. Jesus. 2-10 San Fran at the 4-8 Houston. Garoppolo versus Savage. I mean, we're all waiting for that game. Garoppolo didn't look that bad last week, actually. You know, his arm was all right. His accuracy was fine. But, you know, this Houston defense, I mean, they've only really got Clowney. So I actually like San Francisco to win this game, even though Houston is favored by 3.
You honestly think San Francisco can turn the trick again for the second week in a row?
I think they can.
They accidentally won last week.
Yeah, that was a great game as a Bears fan. Robbie Gould! It's Robbie Gould! It's Robbie Gould! No, I like... I really like San Fran to be an upset here.
No, Texas at home.
Nah. They don't think they have anyone. They're just... I think they're just playing so garbage. All right, the last of the 6 o'clock games. Battle of the NFC East. If you had told people about this game at the start of the season, they'd be like, oh my God. Now they're like... Oh, my God. Giants hosting the Dallas Cowboys. McAdoo's gone, and Eli gets to face this new Dallas defense with everyone back. He's got to be really happy to be back.
He's going to be really happy to be back, but if this goes wrong in this game, it's going to be just another chapter in this horrible Giants season. But the script is written... for Manning to have a comfort behind drive to win this game and basically then just shove it up McAdoo.
Or it also has the ability of that sort of fast Dallas and growing defense to actually come and smoke them. And that's that. I mean, the offensive line of Giants is hardly there. They're not going to have a lot of protection. Eli will be under pressure, and I actually see Dallas winning this one comfortably.
No, I'm riding the Eli Manning fan.
You ride Eli. You ride him. Let's talk about another game we've got here, Tennessee-Arizona. You know, Tennessee's favored by 3 in this. Arizona, what's happened to them? You know, it's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, honestly, think if you looked at the start of the season, then obviously you would have gone for Arizona to have won this.
Yeah.
Tennessee, as much as I don't like them in the AFC, I've got Tennessee to win this game. You've got to say that's going to be the case. They're going to cement their playoff position. Arizona are just an absolute cocker.
Yeah, no, it's a shit show. And Arizona at home, I see Tennessee winning this one quite comfortably. Another team that's just fallen away, quarterback issues, Denver Broncos, hosting the mercurial New York Jets, Josh McCown, playing well.
Yep.
And the running game has been all right. The Jets are actually playing like, for something. I don't know what they're playing for, but they're playing for something.
No, this is it. And then the Jets fans can take a look at it and go, like, they saw Geno last week, obviously, on the other side of New York, and kind of laughed about that. But, this is an easy win for the Jets. Denver are shockingly bad. Jets will win this, no problem.
I've got Jets winning this by six, but that's me. All right. We're going into L.A. once again. It's Washington, the Chargers. This is a great 9 o'clock game. Chargers favored by six here. They seem to be getting everything together. And Joey Bosa, man, I just love watching him. He is so fast and so strong.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, as mentioned earlier on, this is a must-win game for Chargers. And it forces Kansas City to win this week, because Chargers are going to win this one at home, I think, quite comfortably.
Yeah, I see Chargers winning this one as well. Washington just seems to make too many mistakes. The defense is coming alive. The running game for Chargers is coming alive. I've got the Chargers to win this by seven. Okay, the other game that we've got, Seattle at Jacksonville. Jacksonville favored by 2.5 after Seattle's miraculous win over the Eagles last week. I like the Jacksonville defense. I just think that Seattle has got this momentum now. And I actually have them winning this one.
This was, for me, probably the biggest toss-up game of the week. Mm-hmm. I've gone back and forth on this game so much because, again, as mentioned, if Seattle come out and take the lead, then I see them winning this game. Obviously, if Jacksonville come out and take the lead, then I think, Jacksonville, it plays into their defense completely. Yeah. This is a really tough one to call. And when it's so close to call, I'll always favor the home team, so I'm going for the Jaguars to win this, but don't shoot me if Seattle win.
I would not shoot you anyways. Unless you guys want to see my gun collection. No, I got Seattle in this one. I think that they're playing with high spirits after last week. Obviously, the hometown crowd buoyed them. But I've got Seattle winning this by three. And the big game, Sunday night, Philadelphia at the Rams. Ooh, let's bring the D together. This could be one where everyone gets injured. It's like 30 injuries. They just kick the crap out of each other. No team left.
See, bearing in mind that the Eagles haven't really beaten anyone, and I know they put up like an impressive
season.
Carolina
is the only winning team that they beat.
Yeah, that's what they're playing. So this, for me, is the true test.
Yeah.
How good is this Eagles team? Because this Rams team could cause them an awful lot of problems.
Yeah.
I have the Rams winning this one, and it's not necessarily just to shoot the Eagles down, but it's what positives they take out of this game.
Yeah.
Even if they lose, as long as they put up a really good performance, then I'm still buying them as a team that can go find the playoffs. But if the Rams smoke them, then all of a sudden we start taking a look at this Eagles team and go, yeah, they've had a poor schedule. They ain't that good.
Yeah, I actually have the Rams to do some damage on them here. I really do think that the Rams have a more balanced team.
Yeah.
Than Philadelphia does. Goff has been playing with great poise. Wide receivers are great. Their defense is amazing. I've got the Rams to win this. I see it a slow scoring game to start. They have a lot of points in the second half, but I've got the Rams to win it by four.
Yeah, Philadelphia obviously will try and get ahead, and then they can then utilize their running game a lot more. And if you get to that point, then you're going to see like so much time coming off that clock. So again, it's one of those games where it's very important for the Rams to get ahead.
Yeah. All right, well, this is the last we talk on our Monday night game. Bring your brass knuckles to Pittsburgh. It's Baltimore and Pittsburgh. This AFC North is just turned into a basically junior D hockey. I mean, it's just knuckle dusting. It's insane. And Pittsburgh, favored by 4.5. Baltimore is trying to find some sort of resurgence to try to salvage or keep themselves into the wild card hunt. Is this going to be a massive throwdown for a Monday night?
This is going to be an old-style Monday night game. Where we used to get like the big marquee matchup on a Monday night, the game we always look forward to, the NFC East battles we used to have down the years. I see Pittsburgh winning this in a very, very close game, but it's more important for the Steelers to come out and get healthy.
Yeah. You want to keep Le'Veon Bell healthy, you want to keep Antonio Brown healthy, Juju... Yeah. You want to keep everyone healthy, and that, as you say, is going to be a very difficult test. But I have actually Pittsburgh winning, but not covering the spread.
No,
I think like a 2-point game, something like that, just because it's just too tight.
I'm so glad you actually missed out the Dolphins game.
I forgot about the Dolphins game. Oh, my God. Let's talk about the Dolphins game then. Sorry, I forgot about that one.
So, New England at Miami.
Oh, that's right. New England, Miami. I forgot about that because Gronk off my fantasy team, like, friggin' Dave, stupid team. New England at Miami.
Years past, the Patriots have lost in Miami, but you cannot say that this year. I mean, Brady's just going to light up that Miami team.
Yeah, but at one point, do you get it when he starts lighting him up? Do you pull him?
Absolutely. He'll be gone by halftime, or at least he should be.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami are just than Miami.
Well, Miami was playing tricky shit last week, weren't they? Little tricksters.
You do have some games where you can put that up, but yeah.
Not against
the Patriots.
No, the best you can do, basically, is try to hurt them.
No, don't.
Just hurt them. Just like, diving at Brady. Just like, really, like, spearing.
But that is the thing, though. If you get, like, one really bad hit on Brady, and then that's it.
That's it. That's the season. And the city of Boston will basically do a million man march down your throat. Oh. All right, so other sports we want to talk to you. NBA. I mean, you follow it a lot more than I do. I'm obviously a Raptors fan. You know, I'm reading about they're trying to get Marc Gasol, but I have to wait for him. I mean, what's the status of how do you see the NBA going? Because, you know, it's a very interesting season so far.
Yeah.
It's a lot more equality.
Yeah, there is a lot more equality. I mean, I think, you know, the Marc Gasol situation is an interesting one because Memphis have kind of fallen off the table. They replaced their coach. So we're going to have to look at a different direction to go in. Gasol all of a sudden has become a player that may or may not be available. So he's been linked to various different teams, Raptors being one of them. You then got the DeAndre Jordan where he's been linked, leaving the Clippers. The Clippers want to kind of blow things up completely, which they can only do half a job with that because Blake Griffin was signed to the big contract in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have got rid of him as well.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some players that are going to be hitting the market, and some of the more big names are going to be hitting the market. But the main thing is about the season is there is a lot more parity around, which I think is really good in the East, really good in the West. But as much as we talk about that, we're still going down the road of a Cavs Warriors NBA final. So you've got some good games around. I mean, for me, as much as it pains me to say it, I've not always been LeBron's biggest fan, but LeBron might be having his best individual season that he's had in his career. I mean, at the moment, he's putting up 28.2 points per game, 8 rebounds, 8.6 assists, shooting 59% overall, 43% from three. He's never been a three-point shooter. I mean, his true shooting percentage is at 67%.
Do you think that's inspired by Curry's three-pointing and everyone else in the league that, you know, you need a good three-pointer and working on his game for that?
Yeah, I mean, again, everyone's stretching the floor and he's had to be able to do that. And he's obviously leader of that team. They've lost Kyrie. They brought Thomas in, but Thomas hasn't played yet. We've had the Rose saga where he kind of left to try and find himself or whatever else he was trying to do.
Don't they just find a Kardashian or a Jenner? I think you should be kicked off the team if you put your penis in one of those things.
Well, that's
pretty much the whole league. The whole league is gone. That's all the Lakers are no longer playing.
That's one way to strictly have an NBA lockout.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Exactly.
But again, it is an interesting season. I think the bigger thing for me is when you get to this stage, you start to have a look at some of the rookies that have come in.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons has been tremendous for the Sixers. As well as they did there, their number one overall pick, Markel Fultz, seems like he's got a shoulder problem and now can't shoot. So that's going to be like...
That's not a good thing in basketball.
No, it's not a good thing in basketball. But again, it looks like Boston made a great decision with them because they traded away the number one overall pick. They're going Jason Tatum, who's shooting 51% from three-point range. And they got another first-round pick to boot. You know, hurrah for Danny Ainge doing wonderful things again for Boston. But for me, Ben Simmons is a pick of those, and a couple of other names to keep an eye out. Dennis Smith Jr. in Dallas, who everyone was high on down there. And a guy in Atlanta who I was really high on is a guy called John Collins.
Okay,
he's got some excellent playing time down there. Maybe you wouldn't have had that if he'd been drafted higher, but taking a look at the Blazers and the Bucks that needed rebounding help, John Collins is averaging 11.1 rebounds per game per 40 minutes, so he would have really helped them, but Atlanta reaping the benefits there.
Well, NBA, one of the other leagues to expand, they did the game in Mexico City last night, but they announced they're going to have a G League.
Yeah.
Gee, what kind of league is that? The Nets overcame the Thunder by 16 points to stun in Mexico City. There was no laser pointers on their eyes like there have been in past Mexico games. Did you watch this game, or what did you think about the sort of...
I think it's always a good option to go down. I mean, they have the game down in Mexico City. They have, obviously, the game over in London
on January 18th, next month. That's right.
But for me, again, it shows off the Thunder's problems. The Thunder, at the moment, are still trying to figure out how to play Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Melo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, and proposing a scenario that I say to a lot of people lately, is what I would do is move Melo to the bench.
Yeah.
He's a volume scorer.
Yeah.
Put him in the second unit. I mean, I haven't looked at the bench stats for last night yet, but the bench stats the other night, I think against Utah, their bench provided 7 points.
Yeah.
You cannot win consistently when your bench isn't scoring in double digits.
Yeah.
Put Melo on the bench, focus the opening part of the game around Westbrook, Paul George, and Stephen Adams. And then you then go to Melo to help bring along the second unit. Because if nothing else, if nobody else is scoring on the second unit, we know that Melo's very good in isolation, so he can literally take over for a while.
Take some coverage and, and then...
But with the first unit, that doesn't work because the ball has to really stay in Westbrook's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Melo's never been the kind of guy that can play off of somebody else. The ball sticks with Melo. Melo does what he does best when he's got the ball in his hands. That does not work. And I think Billy Donovan needs to kind of figure this one out, and he needs to figure it out fast, because otherwise he's going to find himself not in a job.
Well, that's the thing about the NBA, is that you can quickly start falling down, and it's like one of those, it's like going down the stairs like Granny, you know. Once the momentum starts going, man, you're down the stairs, because as you say, there's only a few teams at the top.
Yeah.
And even in the East, when you've got Boston and Cleveland and Toronto and maybe Detroit, you know, everyone else just starts to fall away. I mean, you look at Indiana and Philadelphia, you go, eh, your season's done, you know?
Well, I mean, the only thing I like about Philadelphia is the fact that we get to see a really good up-and-coming team, and they've been through this, obviously, massive process of trying to keep players healthy and draft high and everything else with that. And now we're beginning to see the benefits. I mean, Ben Simmons is averaging 17.7, 9.5, and 7.5. You know, almost a walking triple-double. That, for me, is a guy that you can put the ball in his hands and he can create or he can score. Joel Embiid is a social media wonder, and I enjoy watching him play as much as I do reading what he says on social media. I think for once we do have to look at the fact that Sixers are going to be a team that in a couple of years,
yeah, a few years of building. But I mean, what about Chicago? You got Chicago is 3-20 now. I mean, how do the fans feel? You've got to be from like a destiny team. I mean, I look at this as like how the Patriots fans will feel one day. You know, remember when we won?
But this Bulls fan, after the championship years, remembers what the late 90s, early 2000s were about when Jordan and Pippen and everyone else left. I think the issue with this one is that they obviously they want to rebuild. They've had an issue where they traded away Jimmy Butler and they got nowhere near the value for him. I have no idea why you trade an all-star and don't get anything really back for him whatsoever. Markkanen is a guy that needs some time to bed in. He can shoot. He does a lot of things well for a European player. And I think the thing I have with it, every time a European player comes in the NBA, they go, oh, is this going to be Dirk? And I think that's your biggest issue, because they did the same with Mirotic when he went to Chicago, and he's turned into a bit of a nightmare. Markkanen needs to kind of like define his own role going forward. But is Fred Hoiberg the right guy for the job anyway, the former Chicago Bull? I'm not convinced. And I mean, I sat through the game against the Pacers the other night where they were up by 14 with 12 minutes to play and still lost that game. It's horrifically bad. The only good thing that could come out of this is obviously if they get the number one overall pick in the draft, because then they're probably going to get a guy like Luka Doncic, who is going to be a tremendous talent in this league, and that's the only thing that we can really look forward to as Bulls fans.
Well, let's look forward to hockey then. We'll talk, switch over to the NHL, because we have been zipping through stuff here. NHL, I mean, I watched part of the game last night with the Matt Tkachuk spearing Matt Martin of the Leafs. Bit dirty. Big news, though, too, is that the NHL said they were going to consider the application from Seattle for a new team. Very close to Vancouver, Quebec. Tabarnak, you get nothing. How do you think this works with adding a team?
I think adding a team is the right step forward. I mean, we've looked at various different options, haven't we? I mean, Houston's been rumoured because of their arena. Quebec has always been kind of thrown into the mix. But Seattle, I spoke to Brendan Witt, the former NHL player, about this a couple of years ago, is that he was always in favour of hockey going to Seattle. He played minor league hockey there, and it's like it's a hell of a place to play hockey, because if you live in that area, you've only got really two options. Either you go north to Vancouver or you go south down to California. Mm-hmm. So to put a team in Seattle, I think, is a really good move if ultimately that does go through. I think the interesting thing here is that Vegas paid $500 million, and now for Seattle it's like $650
million. Yeah.
That's one hell of a rate of inflation.
I guess so. I guess it's also because I think, you know, when you're looking at Vegas, a lot of people are like, I don't think it's going to work in Vegas. And I'm still not convinced. I mean, Vegas is not a town, it's a transient workers' town, you know, pretty much. And you really need to build that fan base, and the kids building the fan base. And, you know, a lot of kids who live in Vegas, it's because mommy's a stripper. So I don't, that's people in Vegas are like, oh, that's wrong. Strippers, but you just when you're trying to build with the kids and the franchise and everything like that, Vegas is not a big popular town. I just worry what it'll do to Vancouver, you know, because a lot of the Vancouver team has sort of benefited from that. And if all it takes is Vancouver to season to start sucking, You know, they'll light anything on fire for hockey in that town.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we've obviously seen Vancouver issues in the past,
yeah,
in previous Stanley Cup finals, and this is a team that's a far cry from that. I mean, they've perennially been a disappointment over the last few years. So, yeah, if they get off to a bad start, that's obviously not going to help their fan base. And I think that's something you've got to look at. I mean, we've already got fan base issues in Arizona,
mm-hmm,
in Carolina. Florida's still really no better. A lot of people stop talking about Florida now as a fan base issue, but they've still got exactly the same number of problems. You've still, as I said, you've still got teams that are crying out for them. I think this is where you start getting some relocation. I think Houston will be allocated to the team. Quebec still may be allocated
Quebec
to the team.
But Quebec City is still a small city. I mean, even from being Canadian, I mean, where I grew up in the area, Southern Ontario, you've got Kitchener, Waterloo, London.
Yeah.
That whole area, there's 700,000 people around there. We could easily fit a team. And Hamilton could get a team, I think, better. Even the East Coast, I mean, you know, Nova Scotia. So, but the problem is when you've got even with Winnipeg, it's keeping those, you know, Winnipeg's not a huge town.
No.
But when you've got Seattle and Vancouver, it's sort of splitting the difference between them. So it could be a fair weather thing that if one of the team does well, no one goes to the other games.
And of course, you've got another potential scenario, as we've seen, you know, preseason games in Kansas City. I mean, that could be a natural rivalry for St. Louis.
Yeah.
But again, you could also, again, have potentially the same issue with that one as well. But I would like to see that. I mean, for me, if I was moving teams around, I would take teams away from Arizona, Carolina, Florida, and put them in Quebec, Houston, and Kansas City. Because Houston, then, is a natural rivalry then for Dallas.
Yeah.
If you know, you see the rivalry in the NBA, you put another rivalry down there. And I think, again, the one thing the NHL is missing over about the last 20 years is natural rivalries.
Yes.
Because they're kind of manufactured now from the television. Like, we had Ovechkin against Crosby. Washington against people, not a rivalry.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to manufacture one around Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid. They're not rivalries. Like, the old-style rivalries, like Chicago, Detroit, and things like that.
It's the city, not the players. We're going, hey, let's put Edmonton against Toronto. It's like, Edmonton sucks. We're not going to go against you.
Yeah, no. And, you know, the old Canadian rivalry is the original six rivalry.
Yeah.
We've moved away from that. So let's try and start putting, maybe that may be one of the thought processes behind it, build a Seattle-Vancouver rivalry. We put a team in Kansas, St. Louis, but one in Houston, Dallas. But that's the way I think you've got to look at it now, is get the rivalries. And going back to what you said about Vegas, that's always been one of my big concerns, is that they've got to get the season ticket holders, because these fans that just go out there on business trips or anything else, that's not going to sustain the franchise. They're the third most attended team in the league right now.
Sure, but it's first.
They're also winning as well.
And Florida, but I mean, you look at when they first put it in the teams in Florida. I mean, you know, they had a lot of people that were going to the games. And now, as the season goes on, as soon as it gets warm out, this, you know, the stadiums are empty, the arenas are empty, and it's, you know, even if the teams are in the playoffs, we used to fly down from Toronto sometimes to, like, Carolina, because it was cheaper than trying to get Leafs tickets.
Yeah.
And you'd fly down and you'd get a ticket for $5 and a beer for $2. So you're just like, all right, it's cheaper to fly down.
Yeah, I mean, like, Carolina tickets are really, really dirt cheap. I mean, the further south you go in the NHL, the cheaper it gets. I mean, I think Florida have kind of had the issue around Tampa's success, because Tampa just is just probably one of the best run franchises in sports. You know, consistent playoff team. Again, you know, top of their division in the NHL. It's just the way
it's a frustrating thing for a Canadian, as Canadians, when you watch our Canadian teams that are so poorly run, or run by these multi-garks of, you know, broadcasters and owned by unions, and you go, shit, why can't we just do it like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a blueprint for success. I mean, even when you looked at it from, you know, when Steven Stamkos was potentially going to go to Toronto, Tampa still managed to keep hold of him. You know, other teams possibly would have had to let that one go, but no, Tampa's just incredibly well run. They seem as though they go year on year out. They keep the same nucleus of players, and they kind of tinker here and there. And I would, one of those teams I would never possibly bet against in the playoffs. Certainly not this year.
Yeah, no. And I think there's also something with the players, kind of, you know, having been to Tampa and been around there, the fact that you can be playing hockey and golf in the same day as a hockey player, because most hockey players, as soon as the season's done, they're on the course.
Well, I mean, you take a look at a guy like Timi Solani, who played in Anaheim. I mean, he's a hell of a golfer. I mean, that's what he spent most of his time doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're going to these warmer places.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you? It's like, oh, better in your knees, better on the back. I mean, we should start wrapping this up, because we've been almost 45 minutes or whoever it is, but it's not about time, but it kind of is. What other kind of sports things you looking at? I was interested in George St. Pierre vacating his title for, I don't know if you saw, because he was too fat. Tries to go to middleweight. He's like, gave me colitis, so I'm going to lose weight again. So he's trying to go back down to 170. That'll be interesting. There's a few good UFC matches coming up. What other kind of things? We're talking about Russia.
Russia. Well, they're not going to be allowed to compete in the Winter Olympics. A lot
they can compete as long as they're independent.
Yeah. all of a sudden the independent has got like hundreds of athletes. It's really interesting how that's going to work out. I mean, a lot of people called for it in Rio.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the athletics team that weren't allowed to compete in London in 2017. So yeah, it's a story, but almost going to turn into a non-story very, very quickly. But you know, they're making a statement, but I mean, these athletes have to prove they're clean. And
yeah, I mean, when you sort of have to look back, I mean, you know, how we redact history, you look at all these Eastern European weightlifter records from the 80s that will never be done. It's like, no, she lifted five times the record. I don't think we'll never beat that. But it is interesting to me because the Winter Olympics are money losers.
Yeah.
No network wants to touch them because nobody watches them. Now that they're going to be in Korea, the only thing people are going to watch is to see if they get blown up, you know? Kim Jong just decides, like, hey, guess what, motherfuckers?
We didn't get the Olympics, and you're not going to have them either. That's it. The Winter Olympics is, like, anytime it comes up for teams bidding for it, they pull out very, very quickly. I mean, Beijing pretty much won it by or default, or whether it is being held in China. Trying to get it back even into Europe is a big job. I mean, every time it goes to a German city, they hold a referendum. No, we don't want it. Oslo pulled out as well. And it's just not financially viable for these cities. Obviously, it doesn't help the amount of money it spent on Sochi either, which was just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, yeah, and the money that disappeared in Sochi. I think the real thing, though, about it, though, too, is the only thing that started to save, in my opinion, the Winter Olympics was having NHL players there.
Yeah.
Because it suddenly became, all right, we get to see who is the best, and it's Canada. But, you know, it adds that level of excitement because you can watch these players. And now with Bettman not allowing that, it's just not as exciting. With Russia not playing, so there'll be the independent team. So the independent team is going to come second to Canada. I don't know.
I mean, for me, it's no necessarily foregone conclusion even Canada are still going to win the gold. I mean, we've got the whole argument about the KHL and what's going to happen with that one as well now.
Yeah.
So, because Canadian players are playing in the KHL, we're going to play for Team Canada.
Yeah.
So, when all said and done, you can probably see a team maybe like Germany winning the gold medal here.
I mean, Canada, I mean, we've got enough depth in it. But, you know, America still has a lot of good players. Sweden has great players. As you say, there's some of the leagues. I mean, there's enough Canadians that I know that are actually starting to play in the British leagues as well. But you've got a lot of them playing in Sweden, a lot of them playing in Switzerland.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't even, like, the time difference. It's going to be in mid-afternoon here. So when you're looking at the UK and in Europe, you know, some of the games or some of the events will be on at 1, 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, anyone in the office want to watch the Winter Olympics? No, it's okay, thanks. No, I'm good. No, I'm good.
And that's just it. I mean, it's, again, one of the big reasons why Bettman didn't want to look at, like, the NHL players going over there, because it's not at a great time. They can't showcase the talent. Not besides the fact that the NHL doesn't make any money out of it anyway.
So they get injuries out of it. So the teams end up bitching. It's like, oh, my guy got hurt or
tired.
Mugged.
Tired or whatever else. It's just awful. No, it's going to be an absolute shit show this Winter Olympics.
All right. Well, guys, I think that's it. Anything else we want to talk of for sports this week? Make sure you follow us and watch our Facebook page. More things coming. This is early stages. Sports and Stripes. Wade and Steven, guys, have a great weekend and have a good sporting weekend.